نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم، الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، so we got to this book is divided into points or lines or paragraphs. And we are on paragraph 41. It says, as a reminder, we are still in the introduction of Al-Risalah by Shafi'i, and the way he started it is with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying the salah upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he took that as a means of getting into the subject by saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who has who is the reason for all benefits that we are enjoying, and that he is the warner and the guide and so on. And also he added that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to him his book, and this book tells us what is prohibited and what is permissible. What is permissible as a tawsi'ah or facilitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what's prohibited, it is for our good and benefit. So all of it is for our good. And he told us what harm there would be in committing what is prohibited, and what benefit it would be, one would attain by fulfilling what he's commanded. So this is the point we got to before last time. The last thing that was on the last tape was this paragraph, as I said, number 41, which says, وَعَلَمَهُمْ مَا أَوْجَبَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ مَعْصِيَتِهِ مِنْ خِلَافِ مَا أَوْجَبَ لِأَهْلِ طَاعَتِهِ, which means, and he notified them or made it known to them, which means to the people, by means of his book, he made them know what he has decreed for those who disobey him, which is contrary to that which he prepared for those who obey him, which means those who disobey him will receive punishment contrary to those who obey him who will receive rewards. And then what else is there in the Quran in addition to these two things? What he mentioned is that that Allah has shown in it what he made halal or permissible, and what he made haram or prohibited, and also the rewards for those who do the halal and stay away from the haram, and the punishment of those who do the opposite. What else is there in the Quran? وَوَعَظَهُمْ بِالْأَخْبَارِ عَمَّنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُمْ, and he admonished them with news about those, or in regard to those who preceded them, which means there are in the Quran stories about the people who came in the past, like Nuh and Ad and Thamud and so on and so forth. وَمَنْ كَانَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْهُمْ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا, of those who were more than them in terms of wealth and children, which means they had more wealth and more children. This is taken from an ayah in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla addresses in it the Arabs by saying that we have sent before you those, or we have raised nations before you who had more children and more wealth, and then they enjoyed their living, their worldly living, like you enjoy their worldly living, or you are doing as they did, and they were destroyed. So he admonished them about with the news about those people, وَأَطْوَلَ أَعْمَارًا, and who lived longer also, who lived longer, وَأَحْمَدَ آثَارًا, and who left more praiseworthy remains or traces. And this does not necessarily mean praiseworthy in terms of Sharia. It could mean praiseworthy to the people who came after. Like you see some of what was accomplished by some nations in the past, and you are amazed. Like the pyramids of Egypt, like some of the palaces of some different countries, the Romans, the Greek, and so on. فَاسْتَمْتَعُوا بِخَلَاقِهِمْ, and those before you, they enjoyed their khalaq. And khalaq means الْحَظُّ وَالنَّصِيبُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, their portion of good, of good things. So whatever good things they were given, they enjoyed it, they got too involved in it. Zamakhshari in his book Al-Kashaf, which is a book of tafsir, but it's good in terms of language but bad in terms of aqidah, he says هو ما خلق الإنسان, because he was specialized in language but he was mu'tazili in aqidah, so one has to be careful in this regard. So he says خلاق هو ما خلق الإنسان, it is that which is created for the human being, أي قدر or decreed من خير, of good things. So فَاسْتَمْتَعُوا بِخَلَاقِهِمْ, as I'm saying, this is part of a similar to an ayah, he's taking the exact wording of an ayah in the Quran. كَانُوا أَشَدَّ أَكْثَرَ مِنْكُمْ أَشَدَّ مِنْكُمْ وَأَكْثَرَ أَمْوَالًا وَأُولَادًا فَاسْتَمْتَعُوا بِخَلَاقِهِمْ كَمَا اسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِخَلَاقِكُمْ وَخُضْتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا, and you got too involved as they were involved. فَاسْتَمْتَعُوا بِخَلَاقِهِمْ في حياتهم الدنيا في حياة دنياهم, so they got involved, too involved in the enjoyment of their worldly life. فأذاقهم means Allah Azza wa Jal. فأذاقهم, so he made them tastes, which means Allah made them taste, عند نزول قضائه, at the time when his Qada comes down or came down, which means his decree of punishment, when it came down, when it was established, manayahum duna amalihim. You know, this is, I mean, for those, as I said, who appreciate the power of the Arabic of Shafi'i, will see it in statements like this. He says, عِنْدَ نُزُولِ فَأَذَاقَهُمْ عِنْدَ نُزُولِ قَضَائِهِ مَنَايَاهُمْ duna amalihim. He made them taste their death. Manaya is plural of munya or maniya, which means death. So manaya is plural. In English you do not make plural of death like deaths, but it means the death of all of them. So he made them taste the death. Duna amalihim. Duna means before. Before they reached their hopes or their goals. So this is similar to a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ drew a circle, and he drew a line from inside the circle to outside the circle. And he said, in the center of the circle, this is a human being. And this is his ajal, which means the time of his death. And this is the circle around him. He said, these are the dangers. No, he drew some different lines around it also, and he said these are dangers. If he escapes one of them, the other will hit him. And this circle is where his end will come, but his hope extends beyond the circle. So he always is hoping to do more and more and more, but he will come to a time where he will stop, he will die. So those people who disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah told us about them in the Quran, they had great hopes, even though they were not good hopes. They were hopes of more enjoyment of this worldly life only. So Allah Azza wa Jalla made them taste their death before they could attain their goals or their hopes. وَنَزَلَتْ بِهِمْ أَقُوبَتَهُ عِنَّا قِضَاءِ أَجَالِهِمْ. And over them came his punishment at the time when their term was completed, or which means when they died. لِيَعْتَبِرُوا فِي أُنُفِ الْأَوَانِ. لِيَعْتَبِرُوا فِي أُنُفِ الْأَوَانِ, which means so that they would take an example. They, who are they? This is a thing to whom? The past people, it's too late for them, they are dead. The people to whom the Quran is revealed. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that He, among the things that are in the Quran also, are admonishments. He admonished them. The people of the family, he spoke mostly about the close family of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then the wider circle, as we said before. So that is revealed to them, or was first revealed to them, لِيَعْتَبِرُوا فِي أُنُفِ الْأَوَانِ, so that they would take example from what has passed. أُنُفِ means the past, what has passed of الْأَوَانِ, of the time. أَوَانِ means time, but it's not used now except in very limited sense. فِي أُنُفِ means past, whatever passed. وَيَتَفَهَّمُوا بِجَلِيَّةِ التِّبْيَانِ. And so that they would comprehend what they are supposed to be doing, بِجَلِيَّةِ التِّبْيَانِ, by means of the clear clarification. تِبْيَان means the clarification, which is the Quran and what is in it. And جَلِيَّة means it is clear by itself. So it is an addition and emphasis of the meaning of tibyan or bayan. That it is clearly clear, the clearly clear things that are in the Quran. وَيَتَنَبَّهُ قَبْلَ رَيْنِ الْغَفْلَةِ. And so that they would take heed and wake up, become attentive, قَبْلَ رَيْنِ الْغَفْلَةِ, before the غَفْلَةِ, which means the unawareness or carelessness would cover them. Rana, as in the Quran, بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, which means, no, but there came on their hearts a cover because of what they were earning. Which means because of their sins, the heart becomes covered with a layer of, thick layer of hardness and carelessness. So he is saying, so that they would take heed by means of this Quran, قَبْلَ رَيْنِ الْغَفْلَةِ, before the unawareness would make it cover over their hearts. وَيَعْمَلُوا قَبْلَ انْقِطَاعِ الْمُدَّةِ, and so that they would start acting before the term ends, الْمُدَّةِ, حِينَ لَا يُعْتِبُ مُذْنِبُ, because at that time no sinner will be given chance to say his excuses. لا يعتب مذنب ولا تؤخذ فدية. And so at the time when no ransom will be accepted, it will be too late in the next life. After death, it will be too late to give that ransom. وتجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا. At that time when every soul, this is from the Quran, from Surah Al-Imran, and one every soul, which means every individual, will find that good, all good that it has done, muhbara, presented in front of it. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ, and also whatever it did of evil, but تَوَدَّرَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهَا أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, it wishes at that time that there is a great distance between it and it, which means between itself and the, that evil that it committed in this worldly life. فَكُلُّ. So now he told us what is in the Quran mainly, which is the halal, the haram, the punishment, the rewards, and the stories, admonishments from the past, right? So he says, فَكُلُّ مَا أَنزَلَ فِي كِتَابِي جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَحُجَّةٌ. Thus, all what he revealed in his book, جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ, may his praise be glorified, رَحْمَةٌ وَحُجَّةٌ, is a mercy and an evidence. عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَ. But not all people will know that. I mean, some people read the Quran from cover to cover and they will say it's like any other book, or maybe I've read better books. So they are ignorant and they cannot see the truth and the light which is in the Quran. There are locks over their hearts. So he says this mercy and evidence, not everybody will know it. عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَ, whoever knows it, knows it. وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَ, and whoever ignores it will ignore it, which means there will be people who will know it, people who will ignore it. لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ جَهِلَ, and whoever ignores it, does not know it, does not see it, does not realize it, لَا يَعْلَمُ, he will never, he is never knowing, he doesn't have any knowledge, which means he is ignorant. If he is ignorant about this, then he has no other knowledge, because any other knowledge will not benefit him. وَلَا يَجْهَلُ مَنْ عَلِمَ, and whoever has knowledge of it, he is not an ignorant person. So no matter what he does not know other than that, it doesn't affect him, because he knows the core, the most important thing that he needs to know. وَالنَّاسُ فِي الْعَلْمِ. Now this is the part that I said last time that we'll be getting to, about the knowledge and what is needed to attain the knowledge of the deen, or the knowledge of the Quran. وَالنَّاسُ فِي الْعَلْمِ طَبَقَاتٍ, and the people in knowledge are levels, different levels. مَوْقِعُهُمْ مِنَ الْعَلْمِ بِقَدْرِ دَرَجَاتِهِمْ فِي الْعَلْمِ بِهِ. Their location in terms of knowledge is determined by their levels in knowing it. Knowing it, which means what? The Quran. So the more they have knowledge of the Quran, the more is their status in knowledge. Whereas if they do not know about the Quran, did not understand it, then whatever knowledge they collect other than that, it is zero, it doesn't help them. فَحُقَّ. Now he gives the advice what you need to do to seek the knowledge of the Quran. فَحُقَّ عَلَى طُلَبَةِ الْعَلْمِ بُلُوغُ غَايَةِ جُهْدِهِمْ. So it's an obligation on the seekers of knowledge, what? First of all, بُلُوغُ غَايَةِ جُهْدِهِمْ فِي الْاِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنْ عَلْمِ. First, they should exert their utmost effort to increase of its knowledge. Yeah, the knowledge of the Quran. And we will see later, knowledge of the Quran doesn't mean only that you read the Quran and the meanings of the word or words of the Quran. The true knowledge of the Quran means everything in Islam, as Imam Shafi will explain very soon after this. So it is an obligation on the students or seekers of knowledge to exert their utmost effort in increasing of this knowledge, knowledge of the Quran. Second requirement. So first, exert the maximum effort. Second, وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى كُلِّ عَارِضٍ دُونَ طَلَبِهِ, and to be steadfast, patient, in the face or in regard to every barrier that comes in their way when they are while they are seeking it. So while they are seeking the knowledge, they should be patient, because there will be barriers and hindrances that will try to prevent them from seeking the knowledge. So they should have patience and perseverance. The third condition, and here are the conditions, they don't have to be in the sequence of importance or priority, because now he mentioned one condition that should be first. So he did not mention them in prioritized order. Third, وَإِخْلَاصُ النِّيَّةِ لِلَّهِ فِي اسْتِدْرَاكِ عِلْمِ نَصًّا وَاسْتِنْبَاطًا. And that they should have sincere intention in that they in attaining this knowledge to be for Allah Azza wa Jal, having sincerity, sincere intention for Allah in seeking this knowledge. نَصًّا وَاسْتِنْبَاطًا, both in terms of text and in terms of derivation. And this is the first place that he indicates that it is not only the mere knowledge of the Quran, the text of the Quran, but it's also the derivation that comes out from it. And then, so he, so far three conditions or three requirements. Number four, وَالرَّغْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْعَوْنِ عَلَيْهِ, and to deplore Allah Azza wa Jal to help in it. الرَّغْبَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْعَوْنِ عَلَيْهِ, deplore Allah to help them in it, which means in seeking this knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ خَيْرٌ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِهِ, because no good will be attained without his help. Because even if you have the best intention and the strongest willpower and determination to do good, but if Allah Azza wa Jal does not help us, we will not be able to do it. So we definitely need the help of Allah in everything that we do, even if it is a good deed. And as we say after we finish the prayer, in the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to Mu'adh alayhi radiallahu anhu, what do we say? Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. So we ask Allah to help us to make dhikr, remember him, wa shukrika, and be grateful to him, wa husni ibadatika, and to worship him in a good way. And in the Fatiha we say, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. It is you that we worship and it's you that we seek the help from. So we need this, the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we cannot attain any good like the ibadah and or in general or specific parts items of ibadah without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without his awn. Now these are four things. There's one more. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ عِلْمَ أَحْكَامِ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ نَصًّا وَاسْتِدْلَالًا, thus the one who attains the knowledge of Allah's legislations or rulings in his book, نَصًّا وَاسْتِدْلَالًا, both in terms of text and in terms of using them as evidence or derivation. وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لِلْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِمَا عَلِمَ مِنْهُ. This is the next one, that Allah would facilitate for him to speak and act according to what he learned of it, in accordance to the knowledge that he gained from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who Allah facilitates him for this, faza bil fadila. So it's not enough to attain the knowledge, but you also need to say it and to practice it. The one who does that, who gets this knowledge and then he acts on this knowledge, فاز بالفضيلة في دينه ودنياه, he would attain or gain the virtue in his deen and in his dunya, in his deen and his dunya. وانتفت عنه الرياب, and the doubts will be expelled from him, will be removed of him. ونورت في قلبه الحكمة, and the wisdom would be lighted in his heart. The wisdom will light with light in his heart. وَاسْتَوْجَبَ فِي الدِّينِ مَوْضِعَ الْإِمَامَةِ, and he would deserve in the deen the position or the status of being imam. Huh?
Is this the result of all these?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Is this the result? It's not number
five. He says, no, number five was to speak and act according to the knowledge. So if one does all of these, which means he attains the knowledge, which are the first four things, and then the fifth is to act on this knowledge both with speaking and actions, then in that case he will deserve this high status and be considered as being in the position of imama in the deen, position of imam or guide or leader in the deen. فنسأل الله المبتدية أو المبتدئ لنا بنعمه قبل استحقاقها. So we ask Allah, who grant us His favors even before we deserve them. He grants us favors before we deserve them. المدينها علينا, and who also keeps them for us. He keeps granting us favors or makes them steady on us. مع تقصيرنا في الاتيان بما أوجب من شكري به من شكري بها. Even though we fall short in showing gratitude to him because of what he granted us. الجاعلنا في خير أمة أخرجت للناس. The one who made us among the best nation that was, or in the best nation that was sent out to the people. We ask him for what? Because he started by saying we ask him for something, inshallah I'll mention it. But before that, I would like to point out that here Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, and as you heard before, that he is in the peak of eloquence in the Arabic language. He uses the word here, al-ja'ilina fi khayr ummatin ukhriyat al-nas. And when we were in school, in elementary and high school, the teachers used to warn us, don't use this term because it's weak language, weak Arabic, to say al-ja'iluna. You should say ja'iluna, like فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْمُبْتَدِئَ لَنَا كَذَا ja'iluna fi khayr ummatin. يعني don't put alif lam before this words or words like it. So they used to warn us from this, but now we know that they are wrong. I mean, they are just using standards, modern standards for the Arabic, whereas the classical standards, which are more correct, do not have anything wrong with this. And we see examples like this also in the Quran. They don't come to my mind right now. I mean, if we think, pause and think a little bit, we can pick them up. But I'm saying that not everything that we are taught in the today's Arabic language is necessarily correct from classical viewpoint of the Arabic language. So he's saying we ask Allah, the one who grant us all these favors despite our falling short of being grateful, and even before we deserve to get these favors, and the one who made us part of the best nation that was sent out to the people, we ask him to أن يرزقنا فهماً في كتابه, to grant us an understanding or comprehension of his book. ثم سنة نبيه, and then in the sunnah of his prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, قولاً وعملاً, both in speaking or speech وعملاً and actions. يؤدي به عنا حقه, so that it would fulfill for us, which means that knowledge, that fahm, that understanding would fulfill for us حقه, what is required, what is the right of this knowledge, which means gratitude. ويوجب لنا نافلة مزيده, and which would guarantee for us the additional thing which is the reward of the hereafter. Allahu A'lam. So then he says قال الشافعي. So this basically ends the introduction, even though the way they have it here in the book is not ended, there's still half a page before it ends, but this basically ends the introduction, because now he will go straight into the subject of discussion of the rest of the book. he says, فَلَيْسَ تَنْزِلُ بِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ دِينِ اللَّهِ نَازِلَ إِلَّا وَلَهَا فِيكِ إِلَّا وَفِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْهُدَى فِيهَا. So, فَلَيْسَتْ, there never تَنْزِلُ بِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ دِينِ. A problem or an incident that never happens to them or occurs to them, an incident, but illa wa fi kitabillahi al-dalil, but in the book of Allah you find, or there is the dalil, the guide, ala sabil al-huda, the guide to the right way, to the way of guidance in regard to it, which means everything that occurs in our lives, there is the guidance for it and the clarification for it is in the book of Allah. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, and then he's telling us the proof for what he's saying. قَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ, a book that we revealed you or sent it down to you so that you would take the people out from darknesses, from different forms of darkness to light, with the permission of their Lord, and to the path of Al-Aziz, the one of honor, the honored or the honorable one, Al-Hamid, the praiseworthy. So he's saying that this book is these kinds of darkness, from all kinds of hardships and problems and difficulties to the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and we have revealed to you the dhikr, the reminder, the Quran, so that you would clarify to the people that which has been revealed to them, and so that they might take heed. So here he's using this ayah in the sense that that the Quran, with the clarification of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tells the people all what they need of what has been revealed to them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and we have sent down to you the book as a clarification for everything, and as guidance and mercy and glad tidings for the Muslims. Now he is saying it is tibyana li kulli shay, a clarification of everything. The Quran is a clarification for everything. And somebody would say, okay, if it's a clarification of everything, therefore if I have a problem, I open the book and it says Quran, yani. For example, I want to know if I will travel or not travel today. I have a problem here. And then he opens the Quran and it says, طَهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. تَشْقَى means I will be sad, so I should not travel. It clarifies everything. Allah says it. Huh? So that is using it in a superstitious way. Or they say, I don't know what to name my daughter, so he opens the book and it says Surah Al-Zalzala, so he calls her Zalzala. And you find some weird names that people name, pick from the Quran. Nothing comes also to my mind now, but Zaria, somebody calls Zaria. So this is not what it means, clarification of everything. And it doesn't mean either that everything that you expect, even differential equations, they have their answers in the Quran, because that's impossible in a book this size. But it means what Shafi'i will explain. What does it mean by the clarification, the bayan of everything, clarification of everything in the Quran? How is that? And that's actually what the rest of the book about. So he will explain to us what this means. And he says, and also Allah says, وَقَالْ وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And we have, thus we have revealed to you رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا, a spirit from our command, which means Jibreel, or the book was revealed to you through Jibreel, by means of Jibreel. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know before that what is the book and what is Iman, what is belief. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا. But we made it, which means the Quran, light. مَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, with which we guide whomever we will of our servants. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And indeed you guide to a straight path. Now the ayah that shows the meaning that he wants the most is the previous one, which says the Quran, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In it there is a clarification of everything. Now the next part, we are done with the introduction, as I said, but here formally we are done with the introduction of this book, because they put a title now, like a new section, and it says كَيْفَ الْبَيَانِ, the title of this section or part, which is how is the clarification, because he says clarification for everything. How is this done? قال الشافعي. الشافعي said, والبيان اسم جامع لمعاني مجتمعة الأصول متشعبة الفروع. He says, البيان, the word بيان or clarification, is a word, a noun, that comprises meanings which are مجتمعات الأصول, that has origins which are together or combined, not combined but joined together, associated or gathered roots, or roots, for example, متشعبة الفروع, but its branches branch out in different directions. متشعبة الفروع. And you will see what that means. So which means that the bayan, the clarification, the different ways of clarification are gathered together in one bunch, but then you'll find different examples that go in all different directions to cover all aspects of our lives. And we'll see how that means. فَأَقَلُّ مَا فِي تِلْكَ الْمَعَانِي الْمُجْتَمِعَةِ الْمُتَشَعِبَةِ أَنَّهَا بَيَانٌ لِمَنْ خُوتِبَ بِهَا مِمَّنْ نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنُ بِلِسَانِهِ أو الْقُرْآنُ بِلِسَانِهِ. The least of those meanings that are gathered and branching after that is that they are a clarification for those who have been addressed by it, which means by the Quran, by these clarifications, of the ones with whose tongue the Quran was revealed, which means, now that I translate literally, he's saying that these are in the least, which means these forms of bayan or clarification, they are in the least a clarification for those to whom the Quran was first revealed, to whom it was revealed because it came down in their tongue, in their language. متقاربة الاستواء عنده. And to him, to such a person, they are of similar or approximately equal power or strength. يعني for example, يعني if he has an evidence from the Quran or from the Sunnah, to him they are equal in strength or power. They are, you know, he does not take this and leave this. To him they are all one package. وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعْضُهَا أَشَدَّ تَأْكِيدَ بَيَانٍ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Even though some of them may appear to be or may be more affirming of the bayan, of the clarification, than some others. Yeah, now he's talking very abstractly. Okay, so it'll be hard to understand what he's saying now. But as we go a little further, when he starts giving the examples, if we go back and read this, you'll find that it makes a lot of sense. وَمُخْتَلِفَةٌ عِنْدَ مَنْ يَجْهَرُ لِسَانَ الْعَرَبِ. Whereas they are different or conflicting, those different forms of bayan or clarification, there is conflict between them in the eye of that who does not understand the Arab's language, who does not understand the Arab language. So very well. Yeah, and sometimes, for example, there are some texts in the Quran which are clear-cut, and others which are not as clear. So to the one who understands the Arabic language, there is no conflict or contradiction between these, and he understands them with each other. Okay, so they support and consolidate each other. So to him, all makes sense as one package. But to the one who does not understand the Arabic language, he will find that there is contradiction. What does this doesn't make sense, and this doesn't make sense, and this makes sense, and so on. And this is what led a lot of people later on, after the first few generations of Islam, to deviate. Those who entered into Islam from other nations, like from the Persians and Romans and so on, and Indians, they started bringing some weird ideas into Islam, Sufism and Atizal, Greek logic, etc., etc. So all of these were brought into the into Islam because of their misunderstanding of the text of Islam. And the Mu'tazila, if you see the great mistake that they made in Aqidah, you find that they basically result from the fact that they misunderstand the bayan of the Quran. So they take some texts and they totally misinterpret them, and so on. So, but inshallah, as I said, there will be more clarification of this later on. قال الشافعي فجماع ما أبان الله لخلقه في كتابه مما تعبدهم به لما مضى في حكمه جل ثناؤه من وجوه فجماع, which means the over all or the encompassing, what encompasses all what Allah has clarified for his creation in his book, of that which he required of him by it, لِمَا مَضَى مِنْ حُكْمِهِ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ, because of what he has decreed before that, may he be glorified, مِنْ وُجُوهِ. So he's saying that the clarification in the Quran has different types, in other words. I mean, now saying it in simpler terms, he's saying the clarification of the Quran is of different types. What are these types? And look very briefly and give some brief examples in this short chapter. He will mention the different kinds of bayan, and then the next chapter he will start expounding. So he said, now he'll give you examples for the first kind, for the second kind, for the third kind, and so on. In the next chapters, he will take the first kind and give more examples. And then the second kind of bayan and give more examples. And third kind of bayan. And bayan, we mean not the bayan that the tablighis give. We mean by the bayan, the clarification, which means how Allah clarified things, and how is the Quran a clarification of everything. So he says, فَمِنْهَا مَا أَبَانَ لِخَلْقِهِ نَصًّا. So of that, or one kind of that, is أَبَانَ لِخَلْقِهِ نَصًّا, that whereby Allah explains or clarifies for his creation, for the people, a thing by exact text, نَصًّا. So he says it by the exact text. مِثْلُ جُمَلِ فَرَائِدِ, such as the jumla, which means like the group of, or the majority of the obligations that he made. The majority of the obligations he stated them by the text of the Quran, what you are supposed to do, what you are supposed, what are your obligations. في أن عليهم صلاة وزكاة وحج وصوم, such as that we have an obligation, they have an obligation to pray and perform zakah and perform hajj and perform sawm or fasting. So this is just by the text of the Quran, this is stated there. What text says about the salah? Salah. What is the text? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. Yeah, establish the prayer. How about zakah? وَآتُ الزَّكَاة. Hajj. معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق. Yeah. Fasting. So things like that, it came by the text of the Quran that this is an obligation. وأنه حرم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن, and also the prohibition that he prohibited the فواحش, the great sins or the evil, great evils. ما ظهر منها وما بطن, whether it's apparent or hidden. ونص الزنا, and also the text about zina. The text about zina. Yeah. نص الزنا, he probably is referring to the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. So avoid it. So this is the prohibition of talking about khamr. I skipped to the word after because he says wal khamr. As for zina, for example, لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. So this is the text for zina. Al khamr, the one that we just mentioned. وأكل الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير, and eating the dead and blood and the flesh of pig. So these are all in the text of the Quran, all these things, which means not the details, that khamr is haram, that zina is haram, that dead and blood etc. are haram, and also that it's an obligation to pray and fast and perform hajj and give the zakah. No, we are saying, no, we get to that later. But the prohibition of the dead is in the Quran. As for the exceptions, we come to them later. Now we're talking about what is where the things that have the clarification by text in the Quran. وَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ كَيْفَ فَرْضُ الْوُضُوءِ, and he clarified to them how is the obligation of, which means how you perform the obligation of wudu, of ablution, you know, for repair. Because this is detailed in the Quran. It didn't say وَتَوَضَّعُوا or أَقِيمُ الْوُضُوءِ or something like that. No, it said exactly how to perform wudu. In a brief way, I mean in a way that the Sunnah complemented it, but still it is there in details. Like he says, يَا رَجَمَا إِذَا قُمْتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, wash your faces and your hands to the elbows, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and pass your hands or clean, rub your water over your heads, وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wash your feet to the ankles. So this tells you the complete fard of wudu in the text of the Quran. وما غير ذلك مما بين نصا, in addition to other things that he indicated or mentioned by text in the Quran. ومنه, the second type, ما أحكم فرضه بكتابه, that which he tithes or not, it's obligation, it's fard in his book, which means he established the fard, the faridah in the book. وَبَيَّنَ كَيْفَ هُوَ عَلَى لِسَانِ النَّبِيِّ. But he clarified how to perform it upon the tongue of his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. مثل على الصلاة. For example, the prayer, we saw that in the Quran it tells us we have to establish the prayer. But how many rak'at, adad al-salah, was zakah, and the amount of the zakah, or how to perform, give the zakah, wa waqtaha, and also its time, when you pray and when you give zakah, and so on. Wa ghayri dhalika min fara'idi allati anzala min kitabih. And other examples of other things of his obligation that he revealed in his book. Okay. Now the third type. وَمِنْهُ مَا سَمَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then there is the type that, the third type is that which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم legislated or started the way in it. مما ليس لله فيه نص حكم. Of that, of which, in regard to which, Allah does not have a text or a textual legislation. Which means, in the book of Allah, Allah does not have in His book a text relative to that particular matter, but it is by the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And here is an important saying that Imam Shafi'i says: وَقَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ طَاعَةَ رَسُولِهِ. And Allah has made an obligation in His book to obey His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, والانتهاء إلى حكمه, and to adhere to His commands. فَمَنْ قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَبِفَرْضِ اللَّهِ قَبِلْ. So whoever accepts something from Rasulullah, he has indeed accepted the obligation from Allah. فَمَنْ قَبِلَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَبِفَرْضِ اللَّهِ قَبِلْ. وَمِنْهُ the fourth kind, مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ الْإِجْتِهَادَ فِي طَلَبِهِ. It is that which Allah has made an obligation on His khalq, on His creation, or the people, to strive seeking it, which means in seeking the understanding of it. وَابْتَلَى طَاعَتَهُمْ فِي الْإِجْتِهَادِ. And He tried their obedience in this striving, which means even this striving to reach the truth, which means the ijtihad, that in itself is an act of obedience if the people do it right. كَمَا ابْتَلَى طَاعَتَهُمْ في غيره مما فرض عليهم. Just as he tries their obedience in other things that he made obligation on them. In other words, he's saying that ijtihad is an obligation. We have to make ijtihad. And it, like he made other obligations, or he required other things from us, he required from us to make ijtihad. And he tries us with this as he tries us with that. So ijtihad is an act of obedience. If we do not do it, we commit a sin. If we do it, we get rewarded, inshallah. And this is like any other act of worship. It is, we are tried by it. It is a field of trial for us. If the people don't make ijtihad, then they are sinning by that. We have to make ijtihad in some situations, in matters that do not have a text from the Quran and the Sunnah. That's what he's saying.
And also, you can say that it's a time that if they make ijtihad in a wrong way,
that's... No, he's not saying that. He's saying that to make ijtihad is an obligation. And Allah is trying us by that, which means by seeing if we will make ijtihad or not, as he tried us with other acts of obedience, like are we going to pray or not, are we going to fast or not, are we going to make ijtihad or not. All of these are acts of worship that we are required to perform. Now whether we do the prayer right or wrong, whether we do the ijtihad right or wrong, that's another story that he's not getting into right now. even about the khalq, the people in general, they have to make ijtihad. Now it doesn't mean that every single person has to do it. It means it's what we call fard kifaya, which means a communal obligation that the ummah must make ijtihad, because there will be always situations where that arise that require ijtihad. Now if they don't do ijtihad and they go blindly and do things wrong, then they are mistaken all and they are falling into sin. But some of them must always perform ijtihad, as Allah says, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْكُمْ وَمِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٍ يَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَيُنْذِرُ الْقَوْمَ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, which means that there always go out a group from them to seek knowledge of the deen. So there should always be a group of people who have the knowledge of the deen so that they can warn their people and teach them and guide them. فَإِنَّهُ يَقُولُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. We got just a few minutes left, 3 or 4 minutes maybe. Says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى مَعْنَا الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ, which means we will try you until we know, so that we will know or it will become clear, those of you who have who make jihad or ijtihad, both who strive, وَالصَّابِرِينَ, and those who have sabr or perseverance, وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ, and so that we will try your the news or your actions. And he says, وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ وَيُمَحِصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, and so that he would try or test what is in your breasts and sift through or try hard that which is in your hearts. So and also says, أَسَى رَبُّكُمْ وقال عسى ربكم أن يهلك عدوكم ويستخلفكم في الأرض فينظر كيف تعملون. عسى ربكم, may your Lord, or may your Lord probably, or it's as if he's saying, inshallah your Lord will يهلك عدوكم, destroy your enemy. That's Musa was saying to his people, عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and then he put you in charge on earth, فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ, and see how you will act, which means how will you act in your ijtihad. You will have to make ijtihad and strive to know what is how to act on earth in a way obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will set you on earth, allow you to live and dwell on it after he gets rid of Fir'aun, and see how you are going to behave, how you are going to make ijtihad so that you will survive and still not be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he gives examples of things with which specific examples of ijtihad required to make to prove. He's proving now that ijtihad is one of the requirements of bayan or clarification, because for some people there is no ijtihad, it is only Quran, Sunnah, that's it, no ijtihad. So he's saying no, ijtihad is required, and it is by the text of the Quran it is required. He gives examples here which show that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to make ijtihad. He says, فَوَجَّاهُمْ بِالْقِبْلَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, قَالَ الشَّافِعِي, فَوَجَّاهُمْ بِالْقِبْلَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, thus he them with the بِالْقِبْلَة, which means to turn, to have their qibla, their direction of prayer, إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, to the Masjid al-Haram, which the sacred mosque. وقال النبي, and he said to his prophet, قد نرى تقلب وجهك في السماء فلنولينك قبلة ترضاها فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيثما كنتم فولوا وجهكم شطرة, which means we do see your turning your face about in the skies, which means looking around in the sky looking for a better place for qibla, or hoping you get permission for a different place for qibla than the one of Jerusalem. فَنُوَلِّنَا قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا, so we'll grant you or we'll turn you to a qibla that you will accept. So turn your face in the direction of al-Masjid al-Haram, and wherever you are, turn your faces in its direction. قال, also said Allah, وقال الله تعالى سبحانه وتعالى, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْكَ, and from wherever you leave, turn your face in the direction of Masjid al-Haram, and wherever you are, O people, turn your faces in this direction so that the other people will not have any evidence against you. فَدَلَّهُمْ جَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ إِذَا غَابُوا عَنْ عَيْنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ على صواب الاجتهاد مما فرض عليهم منه بالعقول التي ركب. So indicated to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated to them, to the people, that when they are far, which means to know the direction, he obliged them to, that to face it wherever they are, by means of the minds that he ركب فيهم, that he